Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. What a joy and privilege it is to share a message today from God's Word from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Before the message, let's pray. Our Holy Father, you are love, you are merciful, you are so good to us. Thank you for the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to give you all the praise. I pray you help us be free from distractions as well as any wrong thinking. Forgive us for any sins that we have committed now, Lord. Help us to grow in godly character so that we can look more like your son, Jesus. Help us to hear the words of the scripture clearly. Teach us what it means and how you desire for us to apply it to our lives. May your will be done today. May we yield to your Holy Spirit in all things, even now. May lives be changed. In all things, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is The Witnesses of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Verse 8 of chapter 1 is a key verse in the book of Acts. You definitely want to circle it, underline, and highlight. It is the main theme. If you look at the book of Acts as a whole, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." One question you want to put in your mind as we look at these verses is, how can I be an effective witness for Jesus? How can I be an effective witness for Jesus? The book of Acts records the history of the church of about 30 years, from 30 AD to 62 AD. It continues the story of the ministry of Jesus that we read in the gospel, specifically the gospel of Luke, which you can look at the book of Acts more like a second part of the book of Luke. In this book, we are able to read the works of the apostles after Jesus ascended into heaven. But overall, this book is mainly about the work of the Holy Spirit in and through the church, the spiritual body of Christ. Starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1 and stopping at verse 11, it reads, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of the sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let's start in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. Let's unpack this prologue verse by verse. Verse 1 says, The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. This former account I made, this is the physician Luke, referencing his former work, as we know as the Gospel of Luke. We can have confidence that Luke is the author of this account because of the beginning content of the book of Acts corresponds to the ending of the Gospel of Luke, and because of what we see here in verse 1, who the letter is addressed to, Theophilus. Theophilus' name is only found in two places in the Bible. That is here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, as well as Luke chapter 1, verse 3, where he is referenced him as most excellent Theophilus. By Luke's introduction, it suggests that he was a Roman official. It's not clear if this man Theophilus was a believer or not, but his name does mean friend of God. It is safe to assume that Luke continues this account for the same reason that is recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 4, which is that he was writing so that he may know the certainty of all things in which you were instructed. The things according to Jesus, specifically as recorded here in verse 1, all the things that Jesus began to both do and teach. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. These apostles who were sent, but before they were sent, Jesus spent time with them, had an intimate fellowship with them, teaching them, correcting them, guiding them, and modeling for them all the things in which he would command them to do. These same apostles that, as verse 3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus fulfilled prophecy by, after he was crucified on the cross, he rose on the third day with all power, defeating sin and death once and for all people. We have proof that he rose from the dead because the scripture says that there were many infallible proofs. Infallible means that something is surely and plainly known. This is indisputable evidence. There is proof. There is fact. Some of the infallible proofs that Jesus was risen from the grave we can find as we read in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. It is the account when Jesus appeared to the two when they were traveling on Emmaus Road. Some other examples of the infallible proofs are recorded in John chapter 20, verse 19, when Jesus entered a room where the doors were locked, where the believers were assembled. Or in John chapter 20, verse 26, where after some time had passed and Jesus showed up and showed Thomas his hands and his side so that he would see for himself the wounds. And he did many other things, as John writes in John chapter 30, that truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The scripture tells us in the latter part of verse 3 that these infallible proofs were seen by them during 40 days, in which Jesus during these 40 days was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Don't miss that. Jesus was still speaking of the things of the kingdom of God as he has his entire earthly ministry. Even still, there was some doubt that these infallible proofs were not true. Today, some foolishly push back on this and say, how can you be sure? You were not there and I were not there. How can you be sure that Jesus rose from the dead? For me, I can be sure because of God through the Holy Spirit has gracefully opened my heart to have faith to believe. And what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, I can believe it because the Bible says so. Now, I have been asked, how can you really believe the Bible is true without any historical evidence? The fact of the matter is that there is historical evidence that the Bible is true. There is a message on YouTube titled, Why You Can Believe the Bible, by the late pastor and Bible teacher Vody Bakel. I would recommend you check it out. It's on YouTube, Why You Can Believe the Bible by Vody Bakel. In this video, he did an explanation of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. During the teaching, he explained in great detail the historical evidence that the Bible is true. There was a summary statement that he shared that I thought was really good. The statement that he said was this: the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses reporting on supernatural events, and those events took place in fulfillment of specific prophecy whose writings are divine rather than human in origin. I share these things because it sets up a good foundation of our first principle as we look at these scriptures today. Remember how I said at the beginning the overarching question that need to be in our minds today? How can I be an effective witness for Jesus? The first principle to take away is to be an effective witness for Jesus. You can be confident that Jesus is alive because our faith is built on fact. It is not a fairy tale or some feel-good story. It is truth of actual events that took place in human history. Again, to be an effective witness for Jesus, you must be confident that he is alive because our faith is built on fact. Continuing in verse 4 and 5 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And Jesus was assembled with them." To be assembled means to be gathered with them, meeting with them, breaking bread with them. "As we were with them, he commanded them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, not to leave, but to wait for the promise of the Father." In other words, you must wait for God's provision. What God had promised, they would receive the Holy Spirit. This is confirmed by the words of Jesus, which he said in referencing, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In these words, Jesus is referencing in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 is being referenced. And it's not many days from now. We are to know now that it is actually 10 days that we know at the day of Pentecost where the believers would receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Now, the promise of the Holy Spirit was crucial for the future ministry and work of the apostles, as well as the other believers then, just as the Holy Spirit is significant now today. For one, the receiving of the Holy Spirit signifies the beginning of the Christian experience. Also, the Holy Spirit is an advocate for believers, as well as the Holy Spirit unifies the Christian community. Looking back at the scripture, after Jesus said that, the disciples did not understand all that he was saying. This is evident by the question that they asked. As they were together, verse 6 says that they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" In essence, they were asking, "So is this when Rome and the other earthly kingdoms will be overthrown?" They were missing the big picture. They were only thinking from a standpoint of what would only amount to a little political earthly influence. What Jesus was talking about was much bigger. He was talking about the beginning of the expansion of kingdom influence. That is a lesson to be taken also, that although having political influence in the earthly realm is good and beneficial, it should not overshadow our efforts in seeing God's kingdom influence grow more. Jesus did not waste time to shut them down. In verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." In short, he said, "It is none of your business. It is no need for you to know these things. It is the Father's business." Same goes for us today. But if you are to know something, know 1 Thessalonians 5:2, which says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Or heed to what Mark chapter 13, verse 33 through 37 says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." In verse 7, Jesus says, "Don't worry yourself with that." But then reiterated what was stated back in verse 5 about the coming of the promise of the Father. In verse 8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, which would give power. The Spirit's presence, leading, and might were essential for the apostles to be effective to continue the Lord's work. The same Holy Spirit that was promised to the apostles is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside believers today. Now, to be an effective witness for Jesus, the first principle is you must be confident that he is alive because our faith is built on fact. Here in verse 4 through 8, you will find the second principle. That is, to be an effective witness for Jesus, you must operate only in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, you must operate only in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells the apostles that after you have received power, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses. A witness is somebody who tells what he or she has seen or heard. The testimony of a witness is very important. Just think about a courtroom that may have a witness on the stand. The judge is not interested in the ideas or opinions of the witness, but that judge only wants to hear what you know as fact, either by what you have seen and heard. The apostles were credible witnesses because they saw the work of Jesus as well as sat at his feet and heard his teachings. There were no better witnesses than the apostles, especially since they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit to help them be that witness. The apostles are to be witnesses of Jesus. Simply put, they are to tell the truth about Jesus. They are to tell about Jesus in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem in the Bible times was located in the country of Judah, which was in the heart of Judea. Samaria in Bible times was in the central region of ancient Palestine. It had the region of Judea at the southern border. In our context, to help us understand this, we can think of Exmoor as Jerusalem and Northampton County as being Judea. And in the northern border, you have Accomack County, which would be like Samaria. The apostles were to be witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This has both geographic and ethnic implications, as we will see fulfilled as we progress through the book of Acts. Geographically, the gospel of Jesus was to go from Jerusalem to Rome. Ethnically, the gospel of Jesus from Jews in Jerusalem, the mixed race in Samaria, then to the Gentiles all over the world. And how does this apply to you and me? Firstly, you must recognize that believers cannot choose to be a witness or not. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you are a witness one way or another. You can be a good witness or a bad witness. A bad witness of Jesus is one who is idle or stagnant in their walk with Jesus. One who is not growing in spiritual maturity, but rather remaining comfortable in your present state with no desire of doing the work of service to share the gospel or verbally sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. In fact, if you do not have a desire to do the works of service and telling people about Jesus who are lost, then it may not just mean that you are a bad witness of Jesus. You may not be a witness at all because you may not even be saved yourself. A good witness of Jesus Christ is confident because they know their faith is built on fact. But most importantly, they recognize and welcome the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. A good witness of Jesus seeks the guidance of the Spirit and continuously prays for God's dominion on earth as it is in heaven, and his will be done. A good witness wants to impact their Jerusalem. In other words, a good witness of Jesus is focused on their witness in their homes and their families. Also, a good witness is obedient to seeing the truth about Jesus spread in their Judea and Samaria. In our terms, a good witness wants to see the gospel of Jesus spread in our communities, our counties, and our state. In addition, a good witness wants to see the world impacted by Jesus so that they are actively a part in foreign missions. If it is being a foreign missionary themselves or training missionaries or supporting them financially, praying for them, or meeting the physical needs of missionaries. Again, being a good witness cannot be done in your own might, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to not take the command that Jesus gave in verse 8 lightly, because it was the last thing that Jesus said to the apostles before he ascended into heaven. Looking back at the scriptures, verse 9 says that now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. While they were looking steadfastly, the scripture says it means were fixed on. They had a gaze upon the heavens to where their leader, their teacher, their friend, as well as their savior ascended. As they were standing there, two men stood in white apparel and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus will again return in the same manner in which he left, and that should be a great motivation for us. Now, one thing we must remember is that in order for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled, for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to leave. The truth is found in the words of Jesus himself, who said in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11, how he told his apostles that he had to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. So again, we need to recognize the truth that Christ had to leave for us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And that should be motivation for us, because Jesus can return at any time. Here in these verses 9 through 11 of Acts chapter 1, especially keeping in mind that the two men in white apparel said this part that Jesus would come again, it leads to our last principle that is highlighted on today on how I can be an effective witness for Jesus. It is, you must focus on the mission of being a witness of Jesus at all times. Again, you must focus on the mission of being a witness of Jesus at all times. Don't get caught up gazing in the sky, or don't get caught up in doing things that don't amount to anything. Don't let things of this world distract you from the mission. Don't let your emotions, your circumstances, the opposition in your life, temptation of the evil one, or anything deter you from being focused on the mission at all times. Being a witness of Jesus is an important task. To understand the magnitude of this task, we must look back at verse 1 for just a second. Luke says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Don't overlook that word "began," because the work of Jesus is not finished. We know this because he will return to set things in order for once and for all. In the meantime, the church, believers of Jesus Christ, are to continue the work through the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of him in all of Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To be the witnesses of Jesus, to be making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe the ways that he commanded. So what does this look like for us practically? How can I apply the truths of Scripture in my own life? How can I be an effective witness of Jesus? First, you must be confident that your faith is built on fact. In order to build your knowledge of the facts, you must be a student of the Scriptures. You must pray and meditate on the Scriptures. You must do what you have to do in order to be prepared to be a viable witness when you are called to the witness stand in life. You must confidently know your faith is built on fact in your homes, on your job, where you volunteer, where you hang out, everywhere. Secondly, you can be an effective witness by growing in your submission by the Holy Spirit. Praying without ceasing is one way to grow in your submission to the Holy Spirit. Another way is to grow in your submission to the Holy Spirit is to be obedient to the Spirit. The beautiful thing about this is the more that you are obedient to the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, not in our will, but the Spirit's will, we learn to trust the Spirit more. To help you focus on the mission and not being distracted with frivolous things, one thing you can do is ensure you're around people who are actively focused on the same mission. Now, notice how I say actively focused, because you can be around people who say they're part of the same mission, but their actions show their focus is on different things. For example, someone might say they want to see the good news of Jesus spread, but they in turn never have any interest in sharing the good news themselves or being a part of anything that deals with gospel sharing. Also, another tip, be intentional with your time for kingdom purposes. If you have a lot of free time on your hands, we can easily find ourselves in doing things that we have no business, especially and definitely things that are not of the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying be overly busy, but be intentional with your time for the kingdom. So again, the question that was before us all, how can I be an effective witness for Jesus? What attitudes or priorities do you need to adjust? What do you need to personally seek guide on in order to grow in your confidence and knowing that your faith is built on fact? What do you need to relinquish control of so that you can be more fully reliant upon the power of the Holy Spirit to do miraculous work in your life? How can you put some things in place to help you stay focused on the mission? Those are the questions. But to be very clear, the bottom line of it all, to be an effective witness for Jesus, can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can only be led by the Holy Spirit if you are a believer of Jesus Christ that has the Holy Spirit indwelled within you. So a question for some may be for you to ponder in your heart. Have I made Jesus Lord and Savior of my life? Have I made Jesus Lord and Savior of my life? Remember what I said earlier, that you can be confident in Jesus is alive because our faith is built on fact. The fact of the matter is that God, our Heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth, is a great God, is a loving God, a merciful God. He is holy and just. On the other hand, mankind is corrupt and dead with an eternal destiny for hell, to be forever separated from God. This is because of sin. Sin is when man's rebellion against God and his ways. Sin creates separation between God and man. The Bible says that the penalty for sin is death. But God, in his great mercy, knew that you and me could not pay that penalty of sin. So he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to have his blood shed for the atonement of our sins. And this is a great gift of God. It is God's grace. For you to accept this gift, you must acknowledge that you are a sinner and repent to turn away from your sins. Instead, to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior of your life, you must believe that he was born, that he lived on the earth, was crucified on the cross, was buried, resurrected on the third day, and still reigns at the right hand of the Father. If we believe this in our hearts and confess this with our mouths, the Bible says you shall be saved. That may be the question for someone today. Don't live another moment without Jesus in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you have given us today. I pray all things that was said and done is pleasing to you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you have given us to those who believe. I do pray for those who have not yet surrendered their life to you. Maybe today will be that day that they will repent of their sins and confess their faith in Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you continue to keep us and guide us, keep us from any harm, hurt, and danger. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, if you have a prayer request or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843. Again, 757-710-6843. Or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Outreach Center at Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing be upon you and your family.